Good morning. This morning I chose a few verses from Patanjali Yoga Sutras, some easy ones. They can be pretty obscure, particularly when you can't see them. Only I can see them. Chapter 1, verse 30. Sickness, apathy, doubt, carelessness, laziness, sensual indulgence, false perspective, non-attainment of the stages of yoga, and instability in holding them are all distractions to the mind and are the obstacles. Pain, depression, trembling limbs, and irregular inhalation and exhalation accompany these distractions. Sounds pretty bleak, right? Sounds like we're in for a difficult time. The point is, there are certain distractions or obstacles that come up and are trying to be consistent in the practice of meditation. So he's listing them. Different individuals would tend to have different ones show up from the list. Some individuals tend to be a bit too emotional, and so they start off with great enthusiasm and run out of inspiration after a few months. So that's an obstacle. We always want to restrain that tendency, for example, and nothing wrong with getting excited or emotional, but we don't want to base our decision to do something of a major nature on emotion. We want to wait till the emotion is passed and base it upon a sound decision as to why we're embarking on this and what we're trying to get out of it. So fortunately, Patanjali gives us 8 ways to overcome the distractions. Isn't that generous of him? Not just one. But he gives 8. Again, different ones would appeal to different natures. I just listed the first 2. Thought that would be enough to look at. First one is so simple. These distractions can be eliminated by the practice of concentrating on a single subject. What does that mean in terms of a practical statement regarding it? As we know, subjects that we have a greater interest in are easier to concentrate on than subjects we have no interest in or subjects we dislike. And therefore, if we're having trouble in our yoga practice, we would choose a subject that we enjoyed. Remember the statement, energy, awareness, and willpower are one and the same thing? Remember that one? Well, that's an example of this principle that the more interest we have in a subject, the easier it is to stay focused on it. And the faster time goes, right? Time is a relative phenomenon. If we're doing something we really like, time speeds up. And if we're doing something we don't like, time slows down. Have you noticed? Yeah, what we really don't like to do, if it takes half an hour, it seems like it's an hour and a half. If we really like to do it, instead of half an hour, it seems like 5 minutes. So our sense of time is totally related to how much interest we have in a subject. So to take this approach, we'd want to choose a single subject that we found inspiring. And in other words, if the mind is kind of wandering or having trouble focusing it, one way to get out of that is to choose something we like and do that for 15 minutes and then come back to our meditation. Second of the 8 methods, the mind can be calm by projecting friendliness, compassion, gladness, and equanimity toward all that is experienced, whether joyful or sorrowful, meritorious or non-meritorious. Meritorious means someone's doing what they should be doing, and non-meritorious means someone's doing something they shouldn't be doing. That's what he means by non-meritorious. So this friendliness is Sanskrit is maitri, compassion is karuna, gladness is mudita, and equanimity is upekshanam. Upekshanam. Said backwards, if we don't project friendliness, compassion, gladness, and equanimity in all conditions, we get disturbed by the conditions. One way or another, we get overly elated or we get overly discouraged by the conditions. We're letting external conditions throw us out of center. Somebody's doing something that really gets on our nerves. That's when we need equanimity. Nothing should disturb us. That's the goal. And we know if something really, really disturbs us, that's in another person, that quality that has to be in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't get so disturbed about it. Just get slightly disturbed. And we can't let other people disturb us, particularly if they're doing things we don't think they should be doing, non-meritorious. That's a classic situation. Well, one of the analogies I use for this is the sun in the sky. You've heard that one before. The sun in the sky doesn't sit up there and say, should I shine on that person or not? They're really not a meritorious person. They don't deserve to be shined on. Should I be friendly to this person or not? They really haven't been very friendly to me. Should I show compassion for what they're going through? Well, they haven't been at all compassionate to what I've been going through. Oh, the sun doesn't think that way. It's up there. And it shines on everyone. Well, that's the quality a monk needs. It's the distinction between having friends and being friendly. Family people have friends, as you should. There's some people you're much closer to than other people, and that's the way it should be. Family people have friends. You're not equally friendly toward all. But that's not a quality that a monk is supposed to have. A monk isn't supposed to have any friends. He's not supposed to like one person more than another. That was supposed to be like the sun in the sky. He's friendly toward everyone, but he's not friends with anyone. So to do that, of course, you have to see the soul in everyone. That's what we were talking about last time, right? The seed is there. The seed of divinity is within everyone. So how can you be friendly, compassionate, glad, and have equanimity toward individuals because you see the soul in each other? What does it mean to see the soul in someone? Well, on a practical level, it means we wish them well. So it can be hard to wish someone well who's harming you, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what monks should be perfect in that. Family people, we don't ask. If you've got a little bit of retaliation there in your mind. He was nasty to me, I should want to get back. But of course you don't. But if we see the soul in someone, then we wish them well. And if they're doing things they shouldn't, like you take worst case scenarios, people that are killing people, we still wish them well. We want them to improve. We need to be like the ideal justice system. The ideal justice system doesn't just throw people in jail and forget about them. No, it's trying for an improvement in behavior. It's trying for remorse. It's trying for a commitment to improve. And ending up in jail, there's some time of self-reflection there. Help that process take place. But we want everyone to improve, and the Hindu point of view, of course, is reincarnation. There's plenty of time to improve. And we want everyone to improve, and seeing everyone improve is the ideal. That's how we can, one way of seeing the soul in someone in a practical way. So we're wishing everyone well. We want to see them improve their behavior, become a more spiritual person, etc. So I gave the ideal for the monk, which is you're friendly, but you don't make friends. You're like the sun in the sky. We shine on everyone without distinguishing. So in family life, you can't do that because there's people that will take advantage of that. At work, relatives, in the neighborhood, you know, if you're too nice, they'll say, oh boy. Maybe you'll buy my swampland in Florida. Take advantage of you. So you have to be realistic in how friendly you can get towards someone, how compassionate you can be. If you know they're going to give you a bad time because of it and take advantage of it. But it doesn't mean you can't. Said another way, you have this quality on the inside, but you may not. It may be prudent not to show it. You should feel on the inside this way. You should feel friendliness, compassion, and gladness, and they shouldn't disturb you toward everyone. But because in family life, some people will take advantage of you, you can't necessarily express it as a monk would. The monk doesn't have any money to buy swampland. Harder to take advantage of a monk, right? What's he going to do? Okay.